They searched the infinite darkness of the universe for a word. And all the while, we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. But God not only has spoken clearly and powerfully to us through Christ and the Scriptures, He also has a very large ear, continuously open to us. He will hear every prayer of His children, even when our prayers are weaker than a snowflake. That's why, of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is second only to the intake of God's Word in importance. The dynamic relationship of prayer to the intake of God's Word and their prominence over all other spiritual disciplines is illustrated from Christian history by Carl Lundquist. The New Testament church built two other disciplines upon prayer and Bible study, the Lord's Supper and small cell groups. John Wesley emphasized five works of piety by adding fasting. The medieval mystics wrote about nine disciplines clustered around three experiences: purgation of sin, enlightenment of the spirit, and union with God. Later, the Keswick Convention approach to practical holiness revolved around five different religious exercises. Today, Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline, lists 12 disciplines, all of them relevant to the contemporary Christian. But whatever varying religious exercises we may practice, without the two basic ones of Emmaus, prayer and Bible reading, the others are empty and powerless. If Lundquist is right, and I believe he is, then one of the main reasons for a lack of godliness is prayerlessness. During the 1980s, more than 17,000 members of a major evangelical denomination were surveyed about their prayer habits while attending seminars on prayer for spiritual awakening. Because they attended this kind of seminar, we can assume these people are above average in their interest in prayer. And yet, the surveys revealed that they pray an average of less than 5 minutes each day. There were 2,000 pastors and wives at these same seminars. By their own admission, they pray less than 7 minutes a day. It's very easy to make people feel guilty about failure in prayer, and that's not the intent of this chapter. But we must come to grips with the fact that to be like Jesus, we must pray. Prayer is expected. I realize that to say prayer is expected of us may make the children of a nonconformist, anti-authoritarian age bristle a bit. Those who have been brought under the authority of Christ and the Bible, however, know that the will of God is for us to pray. But we also believe that His will is good. Jesus expects us to pray. Don't think of prayer as an impersonal requirement. Realize that it is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all authority and with all love, who expects us to pray.